All right, so we're on pay today. We're on daf pay. I want to go over the Mishnah that we need for today, and then we'll go further in the Gemara. So turn back to Ayin Chet Amud Beis, 78b in the Mishnah, the fifth line. Okay, page 156, 78b, Ayin Chet Amud Beis. So again, we're talking about different things that we do hotza'ah with, different items. Every item has its own shear for hotza'ah. So it says diyo kedilch tov shteyotiyot. If you carry enough ink to write two letters, then you're doing the malach of hotzan Shabbos. Then kachol kedilchol ayin achad. If you take it's like mascara for one eye, then you're also over on the malacha deraisa of hotzan Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to ask, why would you have mascara for one eye when you need two eyes? We'll see in a minute. Devek kedilitain barosha shafshaf. Glue enough to give Barosh HaShafshaf, the way Rashi describes it, we'll see in the Gemara, it was a way of like a trap. It's not too much different than like they have like bug traps today, like for locusts, not locusts, for crickets, a cricket trap. They have like a gluey
Fly
board.
paper.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, or a fly paper is also similar. So here they want to trap birds. So they would attach a board to like a reed. I think the reeds were more, tougher than the R reeds that we're familiar with. Everything I see in the Gemara about the reeds is like, seems like the reeds are more of a consistency like bamboo. And then they would attach a board to the end of the reed, and then they would smear it with glue and then catch the bird that way. Although, you see, Rashi's gear says not Barosh HaShafshaf. Barosh HaShafshaf would mean the end of the board. So I don't know more to say about that. Now, Zephet Vegafrid, so we said the pitch and the sulfur to make a nekev. So we said this was they would have a bottle of mercury. I remember I mentioned I think yesterday or today, maybe I mentioned it yesterday. So yeah, this was Shabbos's daf. So Rashi refers to kesef chai. It means mercury is kesef chai. It's like living silver because mercury is a silver color, I think, in its natural state. So they would seal the bottle with pitch and sulfur, then make a hole in it when they want to get the mercury out. Then they want to seal that hole. That's the amount of pitch or gofret you'd be chayav for hotza, which is a very small amount. He says shava gilitein al pi nekev katan, wax enough to put on a small hole, and we'll see further. Charsit lasot pikur zahav. Charsit is like the way Rashi, the crushed brick, but it's enough to like the crushed brick. I assume to make like a clay out of it to put on the hole of a crucible. So he said the hole in the crucible. I don't know exactly how it looked, but they would put the bellows in there, and they would have like a seal on it with this clay. So that clay that's just to the, where the charsit is the crushed brick. So the crushed brick, I need to seal it. That would be that amount would be the hotza'ah. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kedilasot pitput. Rabbi Yehuda says, enough crushed clay. Now we think it means to make a tripod, but we'll see in the Gemara it means like to repair like the cracks in a small tripod. It's a more chamor shear, smaller shear. Subin, kedilatein al pi kur. Subin is bran enough to put on the pikur, the tsurfei zahav. What Rashi says is that if they don't have other fuel for this crucible where they're going to smelt the gold and the silver, they'll take bran, and apparently enough bran to fill that hole would be the shear for hotza'ah. Or the way the Rambam learns, the bran is like sealing the pot so it gets hotter. That's the way he learns. Then sid, which is lime, to provide enough to smear over like the smallest finger of a child. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kilkol. Rabbi Yehuda says enough to make a kilkol. We'll see if they would apply it to the temples to keep the hair down. Women would. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, kilkol undepi. Rabbi Nechemi says enough like to put undepi, that it's going to come out in the Gemara, that means the forehead. Okay, in other words, they want to redden the forehead. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Any questions on the Mishnah? Everybody good? All right, let's go to our daf today's daf pei. So turn to Ayin Ten Amud Beis, last few words on the daf. Okay, so 79b, the last few words. Everybody with me? Okay, so diyo k'dei l'chtov. So we said ink, enough ink to write two letters. That's the shear to be chayav for the malacha of hotzan Shabbat. So the top line on Pei Amud Aleph, ADA, the top line. Yosef, I see you're traveling today and learning Gemara. The tree's going by. All right. So this is a new experience. Okay. Okay. I hope you keep your eyes on the road, Yosef. Now, so Tana, shteyotio bidyo, shteyotio bekumo, shteyotio bekalmarin. So a Tana taught in a Braisa that a person is chayef from Alechad Hotza'a, whether he takes the amount of ink, bidyo, the way Rashi learns, it's dry ink. In other words, they would have like dry ink and then mix it with water. So if I take that amount of dry ink, that would yield enough ink to write two letters. Or shteyotio bekumos. If I have a kumos, could be like a reed, and there's enough ink in the reed to, they would use the reed like a pen, you know, to write two letters on chayev, or shteyotio bekalmarin. If I have enough ink in an inkwell, so I'd also be chayev for it. Let's take a look. By Rava, Rava poses the question, odachat bedyo, odachat bekulmus, odachat bekalmarin mahu. So Rava said, what if he takes out two items? He takes out enough of the dried ink. It's only two out of these three items. He takes two out of the three items. Enough of the dried ink, let's say, to write a letter, and enough in the kulmus to write a letter, or enough in the kulmus and enough in the kalmarin, which is the inkwell. So mahu teku, this is the teku. So it's difficult to understand what the kasha in the Gemara is here, but I saw today in the Masif to the Gemara, they brought the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says, the pshat is that the shiurim are a little bit different for each one, because with the kulmus, in other words, you have enough ink in there, but there'll be a little bit more than two letters worth, because some of the ink will remain in the kulmus. So the volume of ink will be less than, let's say, the dried ink, you know what I mean, for the two letters. So each one, the shiurim for each one is slightly different than the other one. So normally when things have different shiurim, they can't be mitztaref, but on the other hand, basically, they're two letters. That's the basic idea. So that's the question, but the Gemara leaves it as a teku. Now, let's look at the Rashi on this. If you look at the Rashi on the second wide line from the top, Odachat bedyo, Odachat kumus, mimitztarfei olo, v'amrit, tepik lemishum kumus. So Rashi asks, why is he not chayev for carrying out the quill or the reed? In other words, he's got the ink. I understand. But what about the chefza that he's taken out with? So loma chayev alei mishum shu tafel lepachot mikashir. That's subordinate to the item which it's containing. He says here, did non lekaman amotzi ochlin pachot mikashir bekli patur afal akli bnei shekli tafel lo. If a person takes out food in a kli and it's less than the shear of food, he's patur for hotzah with the food, and he's patur from the kli also. The kli is considered tafel, subordinate to the item that's contained in the kli. All right, let me just do a few more lines, and I'll pause. Okay, so let's keep on a roll. We're on line 4 on Pei Amud Aleph. Amar Rava, hotzi shtei otiot uktavan kshu mahalech chayev, kivtan zui anachatan. So again, just to review, by hotza'ah, the two key elements in our hotza'ah are akira, right? You're lifting off the chefza, and hanacha. So if I don't have akira, I don't have a hotza'ah. So the question that Rava said was, let's say, or we're not, this question, this statement, if he's hotzi shteyotiot, he takes out enough ink to write two letters. Let's say he's taking out that kulmus with enough ink in it to write two letters. He says, and then he doesn't pause. He's walking in the Rishus HaRabim. He does not pause, but he writes the two letters, let's say, on his jacket or something like that. So he says, k'shu mahalei chayav k'tiv tanzu anachatan. So he's chayav because the act of writing on the jacket is considered an act of hanacha. It sounds strange. In other words, even though he's walking and he never stops, but writing the letters, that's their final destination on the jacket, and that's considered to be the hanacha. Let's take a look at the Rashi. He says, k'shu mahalech shlo madlefush tevei anacha gufo anacha v'ilu hachi chayav de'ikar hanacha dio al k'tavu. The ikar of hanacha for dio is on the surface where it's being written. All right, let me pause for a second. Anybody have any questions? Michael, you're good. Yosef, Aaron.
Anytime you take out a pencil or a pen, you're chayav. It's a totsa daraisa and a rishus daraisa, because there's always enough ink in there or material to write two letters.
All right.
Just the pen.
All right. All right. Any other points?
Is all right a yes, or you don't
know? Oh, is that a question? I thought you were making a statement. Yeah, yeah.
No, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah, for sure you'd be chayav. For sure you'd be chayav. All right, everybody good? All right. All right, let's go on. Now, all right, so we're on line 8. Okay, Ba'amarava, hotzi ora chanuktava. Now, Rava says, let's say he takes out enough ink to write one letter, and he writes the one letter. And then v'chazer hotzi ora chanuktava. And then he goes back. Let's say he's in the Rishus HaYachid. He brings one letter out to the Rishus HaRabim. He writes a letter in the Rishus HaRabim. Then he goes back to the Rishus HaYachid, takes a small amount of ink to write another letter, and he writes it. He's patur. So Rava says, somewhat counterintuitively, he's not chayev for hotza'a. He says, my taima bi'idana da'apka lebatraita. He says, when he's bringing out the second letter, chasale l'shira de'kamaita. In other words, the way Rashi learns that the ink that he wrote the first letter with has somewhat dried up, so it doesn't have the shear anymore. So now when he's bringing the second letter out, so he doesn't have the full shear. In other words, everything's got to be mitztaref, and that's why that doesn't work. Now we'll see in a minute. The Prima Gadim has an idea that it's a little trickier. Is this something which is unique to Hotza'a? Or would this apply to any malacha? The Prima Gadim has an idea that hotza'a is more problematical. It's because it's malacha grua, and it was an inferior malacha. So in order to get everything lined up, in order to be chayav for hotza'a, I have to have all my ducks lined up 100% in order for it to work out. We'll see in a few minutes, okay? Bama Rava, hotzi chatzi grogeret achad. Rabbi says, let's say a person brought, now we're shifting to Oakland, we're moving away from the ink, okay? So he's bringing Oakland out, and he's bringing half a grogeret. It had a dried fig. It could be a dried fig, pshuto kamashma'o, but other foods are also the size of a dried fig. So he brings out a half a dried fig into the Rishis Rabbim, and he puts it down. And he brings another half dried fig out. He says, v'hinicha, and now he puts it down. So Rishon Anasa Kimisha Kalta Kelev Oshanisrafo Patur. So we don't understand this line yet. I'm going to translate it, but be patient. So Rabba says that he's Patur. The first one doesn't count, because it's as if let's say I throw a ball and a dog catches the ball, right? Or let's say I throw food and the dog catches the food with its mouth and eats it. So I'm not chayav for that act of hotza'a. He says, oshenisrafa, or that it got burnt up, and he's patur. So be patient. So the Gemara says, v'amai hamancha. So the Gemara says, but this is different. He puts it down. Puts it down is different that the dog eats it or it gets burnt up. Why should he not be chayav for hotza'a? And the idea is, like, if I'm doing a little bit of a malacha and then the rest of the malacha, the svar pshuta is I should become chayav when I hit the right shear. And yet here, Rav is saying, I'm not chayav. So he says, "Hachi kamor." This is what Rava was saying. Bim kadam v'gbia rishona korma nachachnia. That there's more facts involved. In other words, he brings out half a grogeret of a half a dried fig. He puts it down, but then he picks it up again and he puts it somewhere else, and then he brings out the second half of a dried fig. So he says, "Bim higbia rishona korma nachachnia naaseit rishona kamisha." Niklato oshenisrafo patur. So the first one is if it's like been, you know, eaten by the dog or burnt. In other words, I need everything to be lined up in this rishus. In other words, if I'm bringing one thing and the one thing is fine. But if let's say he brings out half a grogeret into the rishus rabim, and then he picks it up and he puts it in rishus yachid. Then he brings another half a grogeret, he puts it in the rishus rabim. So Rav is saying the first one isn't there anymore. In other words, in order for it to be mitztaref, I have to have everything present, and then I could say I did an act of hotza, but if only half of it's there, so it's not doesn't count as a as a malacha. Okay, let me just do two more lines and I'll pause. Ba'amarava hotzi chatzi grogeret v'hinicha. Rava says, if I bring out half a grogeret and I put it down, v'chazer hotzi chatzi grogeret v'hevira derech aleha. Now, this we don't understand this yet, but we're going to explain. He put down a half a grogeret. That's the A, the grogeret A. Then he brings out another half a grogeret B, but instead of putting it down, he just passes it over A. He passes it in his hand. He passes it over A. He never puts it down. Chayav. Here Rava says he's chayav for hutzah. So v'amai halo nach. So the Gemara says, how could he be chayav? He didn't put it down. So we said akir and hanacha. That's the sign of kwanon for a hutzah. So the Gemara says kigon shehevira tok shlosha. The Gemara says that maybe the case must be that Rava is talking about is that he passed it within three tefachim of the ground. And we've had before, there's an idea of lavud, right? When things are within three tefachim, we view it as being closed, like with a sukkah. Sometimes you have, you know, the walls and there's a space, so three tefachim closes it out. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rava, but Rava himself said, tok shlosha rabbanan tzrich hanacha al gabi mashu. So this is talking about a sugya. We're going to have a Zorek coming up, I think, on Tzadi Vav is Perek HaZorek. Perek HaZorek goes hand in glove with the first Perek, the first nine dapim, if you remember, in Shabbos were Hotza'ah, and Perek HaZorek is usually learned in conjunction with those first nine dapim, because they all deal with Hotza'ah. So you try to bring things thematically together. So over there, the Gemara talks about a person's in the Rishus Yachid and he throws a Cheftza through the Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus Yachid. So in other words, he's on one side of the Rishus HaRabim in a Rishus Yachid. He has a ball. He takes the ball and he throws it to the other Rishus Yachid, which is on the other side of the street, and the ball goes through the air of the Rishus HaRabim. So is he yes, chayev for a hotzan Shabbos, or no, not chayev? So if he takes from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid, he would not be chayev for hotzan Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva over there holds that he is chayev. Rabbi Akiva holds that there's an idea of kluta. Kluta kamisha hun chadamya. Rabbi Akiva says that the ball, if it's surrounded by the air of the Rishus HaRabim, so mela, that's kluta, it's surrounded, and mela counts like hanacha. But the Chachamim disagree, and they say, no, he's not Chayev. Kluta, right. Right. So they disagree, and they hold that it has to come to a rest on something. That's the rest. So let's get back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, that even according to the Chachamim, if the Chefza is within three tefachim of the ground, it still has to come to a rest on something. So the fact that I'm putting the half grogeret over the half grogeret, but if it doesn't come to anacha, I'm dead in the water. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, kan b'zorek, kan b'ma'avir. So the Gemara says, there's a difference between if a person is zorek something, I throw an object, then it definitely has to come to rest. But by ma'avir, the chefza is in my hand. And the Gemara is saying that the Chachamim would agree, if I'm ma'avir and I come within three tefachim of the ground, that counts like a hanacha. So let's go over again. So Rabbi is saying, I take half. The idea is that things are going to add up. They're going to be mitzarif, the different shiurim. But when and under what circumstances can I add up the different shiurim? So Rabbi says, if I take half a grogeret out, I put it in the Rishus HaRabim, that's half. Now I take the other half grogeret, I just pass it over with my hand over that spot without stopping. So Rava will hold that counts as a hanacha because I'm within three tefachim of the ground, and since the chefza is resting in my hand, I'll be mitzarif both those elements to say that there's hanacha. Okay, now, all right, let me. I did said a lot. Let me just pause and see if anybody's got any questions. Anybody got any questions? Everybody good? Everybody good? You're all unmuted. Everybody good? Okay. Let me go on. All right. Malka, if you could make yourself more visible, all I see is the top of your hair, your forehead. There we go. That's so much nicer. Thank you, Malka. All right. And Eddie, we'd like to see you too. Shaya, I'd love it if you would make yourself visible. Shaya, all right. So we're I assume that's Eddie Barth, right? I assume it's Eddie Barth. Eddie Parver, I mean. All right, so let's take a look. So Tan Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Hotzi Chatzi Grogeret, if a person brought a half a Grogeret, because Harbo Tzi Chatzi Grogeret, Behelim Echad Chayav. So Behelim Echad is, let's say, I forgot that Hotzah is forbidden on Shabbos, and I bring out half a Grogeret, and then without being reminded, I bring out the other half a Grogeret, so then I'm Chayav. I'm Chayav for Korban Chatat. B'shtei Halamot Patur. If it's two alamot, if somebody says, oh, by the way, you carry, carrying is prohibited, and then I forget later on, and I bring it again, so then I'm patur. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Behelim Echad, Rashut Echad Chayav. Now, Rabbi Yossi says, when we say that I'm going to be mitzare for half a grogeret and a half a grogeret, that's, according to Rabbi Yossi, that's only if I bring it to the Rashut Echad. Meaning, I'm in the Rashut Sayachid, I bring it to the same Rishus Arabim, then I'm going to be chayev. It's going to add up. L'shtei Rishuyot Patur. But if it's to two different Rishuyot, in other words, if I bring half a Grogeret to Rishus Arabim A, then half a Grogeret to Rishus Arabim B, then I'm going to be Patur. Then I'm going to be Patur according to Rabbi Yossi. So Amaraba, Hu Sheish Chiyav Chatat Beneim. So Rabbi says, what's Mechalek between one Rishus Arabim, another Rishus Arabim, to invoke this Ptur, if there's a Chiv Chatat, means there's a Rishus Yachin in between, a Rishus that would be Mechayev Miyachatat. So here I have one Rishus Arabim, then there's a Rishus Yachin in between, another Rishus Arabim. So then I'm not going to be Chayev if I bring half a Grogeret to one Rishus Arabim and half a Grogeret to the other Rishus Arabim. Of all Carmelite low, but if there's a Carmelite is a Rishus on a Drabanan level, that would not be enough to be Mechalik and block off my obligation to bring a Korban Chatat. Abaye Amar, now again, they're explaining the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yossi is the one who says it has to be the same Rishus Arabim. So according to Rava, what makes something the same and what not? If there's a Rishus Yachin in between, then it's not the same. But if there's a Carmelite in between, right, a Carmelite could be either a very large enclosed area, or it could be there are other things. We went through in the first parak. We had other things that could be a Carmelite. He says, about Carmelite low, Abaye Amar, a few Carmelite. Abaye says even a Carmelite could divide the Rishus Arabim. He says now I didn't check, but I think on a Derisa level a Carmelite is a Makom Patur. I think on a Derisa level a Carmelite is a Makom Patur. So Abaye says that even a Carmelite could be Mechalek the Rishus Arabim. Aval Pistolo, but a board can't. Rava Amar, or the first opinion was Rava with a hey. Rava Amar, Rava says, Afilu Pisla, Rava says that even if there is, let's say, this board that's lying across the Rishus Arabim, and it's all, let's say the Rishus Arabim is 16 amon across, and I have a board lying across the width of the Rishus Arabim, that's enough to be Mechalik it into two Rishus Arabims. But as the Rava Latame, Rava follows his Shita, Dama Rava, Rishut Shabbat, Rishut Gitin Damyam. Rava says that the Rishus for Shabbos tracks the dinim by Gittin. Now, let's just refresh our recollection by Gittin. So when a man has to give the get to the wife, and atan biyado, he has to put it in her hand. So her hand means either her hand or her rishus, or her rishus. So one issue is that like a woman, when she's married, doesn't really have her own separate rishus and her own separate hand. In other words, because her yad is like the yad of the husband. So Chazal teach us that yada v'gita boyin ke'echad, that, so how does any woman get divorced? So that at the moment that he gives her the divorce, yada v'gita boyin ke'echad, at the same moment, she gets the get, and at that moment she's independent and she has her own yad. So let's say I want to put something in the rishus of the wife. The wife doesn't own property. So the husband can lend his rishus to her because he wants to divorce her. So let's say he lends her his chatzer. So he lends the chatzer, but let's say there's a board that goes across the length of the chatzer. So, and then he puts the get on the board. So Rava learns that she's not divorced because he lends her the chatzer. He didn't lend the board. Anyway, the point is the board accounts as like a pedinim of gittin, like a separate rishus, in other words, separate rishus. So in the same way, Rava wants to say, if I have a board that's lying across the Rishis Rabim, it converts the Rishis Rabim into two Rishiyot. And Mimela, if you bring something into one Rishis Rabim, the other into the other Rishis Rabim, so things wouldn't be Mitztarif. Okay, let me just say a few sentences and then we'll open up the floor for some discussion. All right, so he's got a piece here on the Aladaf, and I saw the other one mention this as well. Okay, let's say a person brought to half the Gro Geret. So the Gemara says if one carries out half a Gro Geret, then carries another half Gro Geret, he's chayiv, even though he did not carry out a complete Gro Geret at one time. The Gemara says, however, he's only chayiv if the first piece of food that he carried out was still in existence when he carried the second piece. If, however, the first half Gro Geret was removed or destroyed, eaten before the second half was deposited, they do not combine to form a complete shear, and the individual who carried them is patur. The Prima Gadim deliberates whether this condition applies to all malachos. That's the basic yisod. So we're saying that if the first half Gro Geret's not around anymore, I'm not chayav for the second half Gro Geret. So the Prima Gadim is one that's by all malachos. He suggests perhaps the reason that is essential the first half Gro Geret be in existence when the second half is carried out, is that the malacha of Hotsa carrying is a malacha grua, an inferior malacha, as described in Tosos on Bezim and Aleph. We mentioned this when we began the Masechta. It means that all malacha, you do something to a cheftza. In other words, you're changing your environment. But by Hotsa, the item is still the same item, whether it's here or there. And therefore, if the entire kugur is non-existent, the malacha lacks significance. Carrying whole malacha grua because the conscious of the malacha Hotsa does not affect physical change in the object. Perhaps a different malacha, such as tochein, is considered significant even if the first half Gro Geret was not in existence at the time the second half Gro Geret is ground. So in other words, would this klal, let's say for tochein, I have a shear for tochein. So now let's say I tochein half a shear, and then I don't know, the first half disappears, then I token another half a shear. So, and it would be the size of a Gro Geret. So am I chayav for that malacha or not? Is this a din that's unique to Hotzah? So an exception, says the Prima Gadim, is a malacha of kotev, writing. Regarding writing, where the minimum shear is two letters, the Prima Gadim states with certainty that one is chayav only if the two letters, which were written on Shabbos, coexist. However, the first letter was erased, for the second letter was written, the writer is patur. So again, we know by Hotza'a we have this rule, they both have to be in existence. And the Prima Gadim is Mesupak, whether that applies to other malachot. But the Prima Gadim is not Mesupak by Kotev. Kotev, he says, Vadai, that the first letter has to be in existence, or the ink for the first letter has to be in existence. And excuse me, I'm not saying right. When I write two letters, not Hotza'a, not like in today's daf, when I write two letters, this first letter has to be in existence when I write the second letter in order to be chayiv. So the Prima Gadim does not clearly explain why there is a distinction in this regard between the malach of kotev and other malachot, such as reaping or grinding, where he suggests a complete kick regard to cut grain or ground flour does not have to be in existence at one time. So that's the question. So why is kotev? So we know hotza is different, and that could be malach of grua. Why should kotev be different? So Tosfos on Ein Gimel notes that although, and I want to say goodbye to Michael when he's going to leave soon. So Tosos notes that although there is a minimum required shear for all malachot, the Mishnah only specifies the required shear with regard to certain malachot. For example, the Mishnah says explicitly that the minimum that one must write to be chayiv is two letters, but the Mishnah does not state that one must reap or grind at least a Gro Geret to be chayiv. So the Sefer Magen Avot deduces from this the shear of two letters that is required from Malach Ketiva is different from the shear that's required for kotzer or tochein. The fact that the Mishnah stresses that the malacha of kotev entails writing at least two letters indicates that writing anything less is not viewed as a malacha at all. If one writes only one letter, is not considered an act of ketiva altogether. In other words, he's saying that by other malachot, when I do a little bit, not the whole shear, so I'm doing a malacha on Shabbos. In other words, I'm violating Shabbos because I'm doing some of it. But this sefer that he's quoting, Magen Avot, wants to say that when it comes to kotev, if I write one letter, I'm not doing anything. He says, in contrast with regard to grinding, any amount of grinding, no matter how little, is considered an act of tochein. If one grinds half Gro Geret, he's patur only if he didn't grind a significant amount. Therefore, even though grinding requires a minimum shear, which doesn't state the shear, because grinding less than the shear is called an act of tochein. Accordingly, Prima Gadim's distinction between writing and grinding is understood. Each act of grinding a half a Gro Geret is an act of grinding, but the other thing not. Now, with regard to writing, anything less than two letters is not an act of writing. Now, he doesn't explain it, but the idea is like this. that by writing the, what was the writing, that they would write one letter on one keresh, another letter on the other keresh. So it's only when I have two letters, that's the amount that it all comes together. Now I'm chayiv. If I have less than that, it's nothing. But by grinding, I do have, let's say I'm grinding, I want food. So I don't have the right shear, but I have food that I can eat. But with writing, it doesn't add up to anything. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody so quiet tonight. Anybody have anything? Yosef, you good, Yosef? Uh-oh. Don't crash the car, Yosef.
No, I'm not driving.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, so you're good. Okay.
I'm not so good with the last part.
Which part? The part that I was saying or the part
Rabbi Yossi. I don't mean to understand what Rabbi Yossi says.
So Rabbi Yossi said that if I'm doing a half a shear for the malach of Hotza'a, right? Then in other words, the shear is grogeret for food, right? So if I bring out half, let's say I'm in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and I carry out half a grogeret, and then I carry out another half grogeret, but I don't bring it to the same Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I bring it to a different Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Rabbi Yossi says, I'm not chayiv in those circumstances, because I have half a grogeret here, I got half a grogeret there. In order for it to be the shear, I have to bring it to the same place, the same Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.
And Rabba come and say what separates these two?
Right, they're explaining what does it mean, the same Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the first opinion says if there's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that would break it up. Second says if there's a Carmelit, that would break it up. And the third opinion says that even if there's a board, that would break it up. Okay? All right. You're good, Yosef. Now, let's take a look. Okay, we're going further in the Gemara. All right, we're 10 lines from the bottom. Michael, Rav Rosenzweig doesn't have shear tonight? What's going on? He does? You leaving? He's leaving soon. All right, let's say 10 lines from the bottom. Okay, kachol kilachol ayin achad. We said like the eye pigment, the mascara, you have to do hotzav with enough mascara to do for one eye, to be chayiv. So ayin achad, halo kachli, like who does mascara in one eye? In other words, we said each item is something that's a davar chashuv, but it's got to add up to something, like one eye. Who does mascara in one eye? So Amar Rav Huna, Shekin Snuot Kochlot Ayin Achat. So Rav Huna says that very modest women will just do one eye, that they're all covered up, even the one eye, and it was only one eye is revealed, and so they'll just do the mascara in one eye because they're so modest. So the Gemara says Meifei. Now again, the Mishnah says for one eye, and Rav Huna explains that Snuot, where that's the way they dress up. So Meifei, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kachol Im L'Refuah K'din L'Chol Ayin Achat. So Rav Shimon Lazar says that if you're carrying it out for medicinal purposes, then one eye is enough. He says, "Im lekashet b'shtei einayim." But if you're carrying it out like to adorn oneself, to make oneself look better, it's obviously women, so then I need enough for two eyes. Now, if we wouldn't have had Rav Huna's statement,
right?
So we could have said the Mishnah is just talking about for refuah. But now Rav Huna says the Mishnah is not talking about refuah. The Mishnah is talking about kishut, but you only need for one eye. So, and then they have that in the art scroll. So the Gemara says, "Tir Gemar Hillel Bereidet Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Kitanya Hu Biiraniyo." So Hillel, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, says that the brisa that says that I need two eyes like kashet is talking about like village women. In other words, in the village, let's look at the Rashi on this. Bironiot, it's the sixth narrow line above where it gets wide, downstairs. Bironiot, benot kfarim, inan srichot sneer kokach, they don't need as much sneer as in the villages. Shein schok v'kalat rosh matzuisham, there's not as much levity over there. He says, v'amamu atin, there are fewer people there. He says, v'inan mechasim pneim, they don't cover their faces. V'kokloch deyaneim. So there they do mascara on both eyes. But in the city, the Armish is talking about the city, the way Rav Huna understands it. So in the city, one eye would be sufficient because since there are tznuot who would do one eye, so that's the amount for Hotza with that. All right, let me just do another 4 or 5 lines, then I'll pause. All right. So let's see, back in the Gemara. Everybody with me? We're around 10 lines from the bottom. Now, this next Gemara, you see it's in parentheses. It's not in the right order. And if you remember, if you look back in the Mishnah, After the it should be debek daily ten rosh b'shaf shaf shaf shaf, that the glue is the next case in the Mishnah. But so the Gemara says, let's take a look. Shava kidilitain alpi nekev katan. We said that if you take out wax, it has to be enough wax to apply to a small hole. So tana totna brisa kidilitain alpi nekev katan shel yayin. What do you mean a small hole? I mean a small hole for a wine container. So Rashi points out that the hole for a wine container that I'd want to fill, in other words, wine is very thin as opposed to like honey and oil is more viscous. So that would be a bigger hole. So the amount to fill it would be larger. But by wine, it's a very viscous thing. So it leaks out even of a small little hole it leaks out of. So shava to fill that little hole is enough to be chai for hotzah. All right, hold on for a minute. Deva kidilitain rosh hashavshaf, glue enough to apply to the way we have it is the edge of the board, but Rashi just says shavshaf. Tana kidilitain rosh hashavshaf rosh kana shel tzayadim. The shavshaf means to smear, but the board, they're using it to trap the birds. So the bird trapping board is connected to the end of a reed. Again, the reeds are, really, I think, stronger than our reeds. Let's see Rashi on that. Two lines above where it gets wide. Shafshaf shabarosh kana shotsayanim. See, Rashi doesn't have rosh shafshaf, just shafshaf. Moshibin neser katan, rosh kana. They put a small board at the head of a reed. Benot nimalav devek, they apply glue to it. But ofio shevalav, the bird sits on it. Benidbakdo, and then he's trapped, he can't get out. Srikhli tain sham harbay, they say of nidbakbo. I need a lot of glue so that the bird, when he sits down, can't get back up and go his merry way. Okay, let's do a little bit more. Okay, Zephet Vigafri Kidila Sotvhule, we said excuse me, the pitch and the sulfur to like fill in the small nekev, we said for the mercury, right? He says Tana Kidila Sot nekev katan, fill in the small hole. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did? Everybody good? Okay, Malka, you just slipped out of my vision again, Malcolm. You slipped out of my vision. Okay, let's get it. Okay, let's lower it. Let's lower the screen so I could see you. There you go. Okay, a little bit lower, Malka. Can you do a little bit more? Let's do a little longer. I want to see the whole you, Malka. All right, Aaron Gershon, you disappeared. All right, let's go further. All right, so now we're six lines from the bottom on Payamid Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay, now, Charsid kedei lasok pi kur v'chulei. We said Charsid is the crushed brick, we said, was the charsid. In other words, and he's going to like create like clay with it to put on this hole in the crucible that he smelts the gold with. And that was either that somehow there's like a bellows that fits through that hole. And that seems to be the way it would go. So he says, the main road, the shiur de Rabbi Yehuda. Now, let's go back to the Mishnah for a second, or you don't have to turn, but I'll go back. He says, Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei lasot pitput. Rabbi Yehuda says, enough, we think it means to make a tripod. In other words, in order to be chayav for a charsid, charsid is, let me see how they translate charsid here, crushed brick, right. So Rabbi Yehuda says, enough to make a tripod. That's enough. So it's machloket between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, charsid kedei lasot pikur v'kulei. The main word, the shir, the Rabbi Yehuda nafish. It sounds like, from a simple meaning of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda shear is a larger shear, which is a kula, right? If I need a larger shear to be chayav the malacha, that's a leniency. He says, kaimelan shear the rabbanan nafish, but we're, as far as we know, the chachamim always have a larger shear than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir. Did not, because we learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda omer kedili tol emenu mirat minal lekatan. Remember in the earlier Mishnah, or it was this Mishnah, in this Mishnah we said that if he takes out the gemi, and according to Meiri, it's also the chevel. So according to Tanakama, chevel was enough for to make a handle for a basket, and the gemi was enough to make a handle for the naf and the kvara. And then Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it's enough if you have enough gemi just to measure the size of a child's foot. And according to Meiri, it's also the rope would also be the same shear, but he's more machmir. Now, the question is, because he's more machmir there, why does it mean he's more machmir now? So the article quoted from the Ritva says that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that if I have two usages, one is more common, one less common, but the less common is more chumradik, so we'll follow the more chomer dick. And the chomer hold, we'll just go by the one that's most common. So that, if that's the machloket, then he holds it across the board. So the question is, how could it be that he comes up then with this like greater shear here, which is the amount of harsid, amount of brick, crushed brick to make a tripod. So ema kedilasud pitput kira katana. So the way I should understand the Mishnah, it means enough crushed brick to repair, not to create, but to repair the cracks in a small tripod that supports the kira, which is a type of stove. So he is more machmir here as well. Okay, subin kedilatan al pi kur shel tzurfei zahav. We said bran enough to put on these opening in the kur of tzurfei zahav. We said that they would either use it for fuel if they didn't have other fuel, according to Rashi, or according to the Rambam, it's to seal off the crucible. Okay, turn page. We're on Peyam Beis. Peyam Beis, the top line. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Everybody with me? Okay, so Tan Rabbanan, hamotzi seyar. If a person carries hair out on Shabbos, so he would have to carry enough hair to, like, to put in the production of clay. And there was hair, like, helps clog things up. Maybe in your house, you know, the drains maybe get clogged up with hair or something like that. So hair is a, a binding thing. It helps bind and an object. So it means for the minimum shear of tit. So the minimum shear tit was, remember we had, I think, a revius of water, and you would add that to the clay. And so the amount of hair that would be required with that mixture would be the shear for hair. Tit, and then if a person's carrying out the clay, la sot pikur shel tzurfei zahav. In other words, pikur means to line the whole of this crucible of the gold smelters. All right, any questions what we did so far? Everybody right? Shaya, you okay, Shaya? You all right? Everybody good? Aaron Gershon, you still with us? Aaron Gershon? All right. I don't know where Aaron
Gershon is. Still with you. You don't want to see me eating.
Oh, okay. All right, let's take a look. All right, let's see further. All right, we're on the second line on Payama Bays, all right? Okay. Sid kedei lasud. Now we said if a person carries out lime on Shabbos, so we said that first we said it's enough for the katana shibabano, like to cover the small finger of a daughter. Then we said to apply to the temples and to the forehead. But we'll see. In other words, we had different opinions. So sid kedei lasud tana kedei lasud etzpa katana shibabano. So tana tot nabraisa means to apply to the small finger of a daughter. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Benot Yisrael Shigula Pirkan, that you have Jewish daughters, means young Jewish women, Shigula Pirkan, Loigula Shanim. In other words, they're showing signs of puberty, but prematurely. In other words, that's the way Rashi learns. They're showing, like, you know, signs prematurely. So Benot Anim Toflot Otan Besid. So the poor women apply this lime to the area to remove the hair. The girls are embarrassed about having it. Benoda shirim toflotan basolat. The wealthier women cover it with fine flour. That's the way Rashi's learning. Benot malachim toflotan b'shemen amor. And then wealthy women, they cover it with shemen amor. It's like the oil, the myrrh oil. He says oil of myrrh. Shenemar shishachad shem b'shemen amor. It says in the Megillas Esther that the women who came to Achashverosh, so they have six months with Shemen Amor. So my Shemen Amor, Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Satakat. He says it's Satakat. So Satakat is like an oil infused with spices, is what the article says. Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba Amar Shemen Zayit Shloi V'Yishlish. Yirmiyahu Bar Abba says it's more that the Shemen Amor is oil that's made from olives that haven't grown a third of their ultimate growth. Tanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, Anpiknon, Shemen Zayit Shelo Yishlish. Rabbi Huda says, Anpiknon is this oil that hasn't, you know, grown to a third of its ultimate growth. So I didn't look up this Gemara, but Rashi mentions Gemara Menachot. So it sounds like that oil sounds like it's not good for the Avod in the base of Mikdash. In other words, oil that's made from olives that haven't grown a third of their growth, I assume. But Lama Sachinoto, why do they smear themselves with this? Shemeshirat Haseyar. And this is what, because it removes the hair, umadein habasar, and it makes the skin glow. That's the Shemen Amor does those things. Now, Rabibi, Habile Barata, Rabibi had a daughter, and Taflo, Aver, he covered her one Aver at a time, one limb at a time, with the lime. And the lime also causes the skin to become radiant. So Shakaba Arba Mazuze, so she was so beautiful, and with this lime treatment, somebody offered her 400 zuz to marry her. It's interesting, like, if you look at Rashi on this, I thought it was sort of interesting. If you look at Rashi, the fifth narrow line, Shakaba Arba Zuze, Shnitiapa, she became beautiful, but Kafsula Hamahu Ganimla. All the people who were appropriate for her wanted her, but it sounds like looks are a big deal, you know, with marriage. I guess they are. He says, Vinatnu lo mamon. They gave the father all this money. So he says, Hava hu nachri b'shivavute. There was a certain non-Jew in the neighborhood, Havile Barata, and he also had a daughter, Taflo b'chadzimna. He just smeared her with the lime all in one shot, the whole body, emeta. She's gestorben geworden. She died. So Amar, he said, the Nachri said, Katal Rabibi Labrati. Rabibi killed my daughter. And it was, he understood that Rabibi had applied the lime, but he didn't learn the whole procedure. Rabibi did it one aver at a time. He did it in one fell swoop. Amar of Nachman, Rabibi the Shati Shikra, Bayin Bante Taflo. So Rav Nachman says, Rabibi, they would, in his household, they would always drink beer. So they need this Tafla, they need this to apply this lime treatment to remove the hair. He says, Anan lo shatina shikra. We don't use as much beer in our households, or we don't use it. Lo bayin bantan tafla. So our daughters don't require the treatment. All right, any questions, comments, something we did? Shaya, you still with us tonight, Shaya? Okay. I feel like I'm losing you, Shaya. All right. Anybody have anything to say? Everybody good? Yosef, you're good. Malka, everybody. Aaron Gershon, Livia. All right, I'm going to move on. So we're four lines above where it gets wide on Pei Amid Beis, okay? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedid Lasud Kilkul. So again, so the Tanakhama says that you're chayav for carrying out Sid, lime, on Shabbos, if it's enough to smear like the smallest aver of a young girl, which is a small shear. But then the Mishnah says, the Rabbi Yehuda says, Kedid Lasud Kilkul. If you take enough lime to apply to the Kilkul, then you're chayav. So the Gemara says, my kilkul, what's kilkul? My andipi. Then Reb Nechemi says, "For if you have enough lime for the andipi is chayav." So what do those mean? So Amar Rav, tzidu bat tzidu. So Rav says that one is referring to the temples, the other is the area underneath the temples. So on the temples, the lime helps keep the hair down, and below the temples, it helps to remove the, I assume, the facial hair. So the Gemara says, l'meimra d'shira d'Rabbi Yehuda Nafish. So this Lechora sounds like if the first opinion holds enough lime to cover like a small aver, like maybe a pinky of a young girl, and then Rabbi Yehuda says enough to cover the temples, it sounds like he's got a larger shear. Hakaimelon the shear the Rabbanan nafish. So, but in general, we hold that the shear of the Chachamim is always larger. So the Gemara says, Zutamid Rabbanim Nafish Rabbi Nechemia. Says, no, his opinion, which is to cover the temples, is larger than Rabbi Nechemia. You're right, it's larger than Rabbi Nechemia, but Sof Kol Sof, it is smaller than the Sheet of the Chachamim. So the Sheet of the Chachamim, they said it's enough to cover the small finger. Rabbi Yehuda says enough for the temples, that's less than the smaller shear. And then, but it's a larger shear than Rabbi Nechemia, who said that the area below the temples. So let's take a look. Main thing, so that was the shot that Rav gave. So Meifei, we ask Kashan Rav from the following Braisa. I'm a Rebbe, Nirin Div Rebbe Yehuda B'chavut. So Rebbe says, Rebbe Yehuda's opinion makes most sense to me, B'chavut, which is like the lime that's been dissolved with water, B'divri Reb Nechemi B'beitzat Hasid. Whereas Reb Nechemi makes more sense with like a clump of Sid that, a clump of Sid. So if you assume one's the temple and one's the area below the temples, they would both be diluted with water. So Rabbi Yitzchak, different pshat. Amri debe Rabbi Yami, they said in the basement Rabbi Yami, andipa, that it means, andipa means if you have a container that has two spigots in it. Let me get, give me one second. One second. Give me 1 second. Yeah, that's Rebbe Nechemiah, right. So it means like this. So in Achinami, Rebbe Yehuda will hold, it means the temples, but the last pshat on Dipei means if you have a container with two spigots in it, and you want to fill up the container, one spigot is below the other spigot, so I want to seal up the lower spigot, I'll fill it up with the sid. That's what we think the pshat is. So, and on Dipei means like Rashi has, what's the language that Rashi has? He has shtei piyod, but dupi, like du is two, p is two openings. That's on dipe is like dupi. So matkiv l'Rav Kahana, v'chi adam osema otavan parot. Does a person throw his money away? If I seal up like a container for with wine and it's got two spigots and lower spigot is stuffed up with this lime, the wine is going to eventually wash through that the lime and you'll lose all the wine. So elam l'Rav Kahana, Shnatot. So rather, Rav Kahana says the pshat on Dipei is shnatot. Shnatot are like grooves in a keli for the shiurim, but the lime would highlight the grooves. I'll put the lime on the grooves, and then I'll see how much to give. Kiddunan, like we learned in the Mishnah, shnatot ayu behin, that they were like markings on the hin that they used in the base of Mikdash. Ad kan lepar. Up until here, you know, it's like chatzia hin yelapar. I have a hin, and there's a marker half the hin. That's for the adkan lapar. That's for if you have a bull. So that's what the amount you need, like for the wine. He says adkan la'ayil here for ayil adkan lakevis. And it was chatzia hin lapar shishin la'ayil revira hin lakevis. So he says. So that's one pshat. The ibaynema. So on Dipei could mean like the line that's applied to the marking, so I could see it more clearly. The ibaynema, or else I could say my andipa aputa. What is andipa? It means aputa, the forehead, that they apply to the forehead, so the forehead would be red, and she looks like in good shape. He says v'chiha dahu bar Galil the ikla the Babel. There was a certain Galilean who came to Babel. Galil is in Eretz Israel. Babel is obviously in Babylonia. And Babel could also mean a city. Babel is the name of a city as well as a region. I assume when it says Ikla the Babel, I assume it's like the city. He says, "Da amrule kum drosh lanu b'masi merkava." They said, "Can you give us a drasha masi merkava?" Masi merkava is darshaning the vision of Yechezkel, who in the beginning of Yechezkel, and it's coming up the Haftorah on Shavuos, right? The first day of Shavuos is that's the Haftorah for this Friday morning when we used to have a shul in Minyanim. So it's the Haftorah for this Friday. So, but to understand it is like very esoteric, very deep. And there are certain dinim about who and when you could teach that and what circumstances. So Amar Lahu, Adrosh Lahu, Kedarsh Reb Nechemiah L'chavre. He said, I'll darshan to you like Reb Nechemiah did to his chaver. V'nafka arita min kotel. A hornet came out from the wall. U'machti ba'andipe u'min. He bit him on the forehead and he died. But Amrulay mintilei dalei, and it was like it came from him. And he ended up dying. He caused his whole problem. But the point is, in the story, he uses the word andipei for forehead. So at the end of the day, the Gemara has so the first pshat for Rabbi Yehuda means the amount of lime to apply to a woman's temples that she applies the lime to keep the hair down. That's the shear according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemiah says it's andipei. Either it means to mark off the markings in a container for the shear, or it means on the forehead. Whose questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did? Everybody okay? All right. Wait, everybody's so knocked out tonight. What's going on? All right. I guess the holiday got everybody knocked out.
Tennis.
Right. What? Tennis. Okay. All right. Let's keep going. All right. Let's see further. Okay. So now we're on the eighth line from the top in the Mishnah. All right. Now we're continuing on with shiurim to be chai for Otzan Shabbat. So Manitin, Adama kechotam hamartzufim de Rabbi Akiva. If a person on Shabbos carries out earth, if it's enough earth for chotam hamartzufim, it means for the seal of cargo sacks. In other words, it would make a seal on the cargo sacks. That's enough earth, your chayev. But chachamim omrim kechotam ha'igro. The chachamim say a smaller shear, it's enough seal, like you would do seal a letter with it, and then that's enough to be chayev. Zevel v'chol hadak. If a person like zevel is like manure or fertilizer, and chol adak like the fine sand, enough to fertilize the kelach, he says, is a he says, is a stalk, a single stalk of cabbage. Some stalk of cabbage. The Chachamim Omrim, Kidizabel, Kuresha, enough to, a smaller shear, enough to fertilize a leek. Enough to fertilize a leek. Chol Hagas, if it's coarse sand, Kidilitain Omalo Kaf Sid, enough that it means a trowel. In other words, I have sid, I'm going to mix the sid with the sand. And for one trowel of that mixture, and there was enough sand that would go into the trowel, then he's chai for utzah. Kan is a reed, kidilasot kumus. And to make a kumus, kumus is like a pen. So if I carry out enough of a reed to make a kumus, I'm chayav. V'maya ave umurusas, but if it was a very thick reed, umurusas is cracked, so it's not fit for writing. Kidilabashil bobeit zakala. In other words, then, if he takes out enough reed to cook a beitza, like an easily cooked egg, which is he says, enough to cook the most easily cooked of eggs. He says, meaning trufa, like scrambled and untuna be'ilfas. And if he takes it enough where it's already been beaten and it's placed in a pot, then in other words, the reed is fuel. So if he takes in enough reed that he can cook an egg, the easiest cooked of eggs, we'll define what the easiest cooked eggs, and the egg has already been beaten and it's in a skillet, so then that's enough. That's enough to be chayav on Shabbos. All right. Any questions on the Mishnah? All right. Let's go. All right, now we're 10 lines from the bottom on Pehamra Abez. So Gemara, Al Malay Kafsid, if he takes out enough, we said sand, right? The sand, the coarse sand, enough to fill the trowel. Tana Kilitain Al Pi Kaf Shel Sayadim. It was on the trowel that the Sayadim use, the Sayadim are the plasterers. Okay, man tana dechol mali le the sid. So who's the tana who holds that sid is beneficial to lime? In other words, I'm mixing the sid, it means I'm like improving the sid with it. So who's the tana who holds that would improve lime? So Amar Rav Chisda Rebbe Yehuda. So Rav Chisda says that's the tana Rebbe Yehuda. How do I know? The tanya learned the brisa lo yased adam et beito b'sid. A person, now today, after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, so there are limitations on how a person can decorate and build his house. So the Talmud of the Brisa says that a person shouldn't plaster was very bright, very white. So I shouldn't plaster my house with Sid after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, Elam Kini Rebo Tevin Ochol, unless he mixed into it some straw or sand, which would darken the complexion of the Sid, then he could mix it in. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tevin Mutar, Tana Rabbi Yehuda says Tevin you can mix in. That makes it worse. But Chol Asur, but mixing in sand is prohibited. He says, Vnei Shuhu Traksid, it hardens it. It makes it a better, but the looks aren't so good, but it makes it a better product. And so Mamela, therefore, according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, even if you mix the Chol in, you can't use that Sid because it's such a wonderful product. And as a sign of mourning for the Korban Beis HaMikdash, you shouldn't use it. But the point is that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda would hold that adding sand is a positive thing for the Sid, and therefore that's the shear for Hotzan Shabbos. Rava Amar, Afilu Tamer Rabbanan. Rava says, look, you could even say that our Mishnah could be like the Chachamim. Kilkulu Zeu Tikuno. And it was the Chachamim hold, it messes it up because it darkens it. But in a way, it is. I could view it as a positive because that's what permits, according to the Chachamim, one to use the Sid on one's home. In other words, if a person wants to, you know, plaster the house, so the only way he can plaster it, according to the Chachamim, he adds the sand to it. So the sand is doing something positive. So the Brisa could even be according to the Chachamim. All right, let's see further. All right, now, okay, we're on 8 lines from the bottom. Kana kedilasot kulmus. We said if a person takes out a reed, so if it's long, if it's big enough to make a kulmus out of it, a pen out of it, he's good. So tana kulmus hamagil kishrei etzvotav. The kulmus has to reach when he writes his knuckles, his joints of his finger. So by Ravashi kesher ha'elyon. So in the middle finger, does it mean like the segment that's closest to the hand? Or does he mean the middle segment of the middle finger? So take it. The Gemara leaves it, take it. We're not sure exactly what he means. And again, Chazal teaches, there's another Gemara that says that why is the Kana Zoche to be the instrument that the Sefer Torah is written? Because it's a person should always be rach kana. A person should always be flexible like the reed. The reed is flexible. You bend it and then it snaps back. And in life, that's the way a person should be, flexible. All right. All right, everybody good? Any questions so far? We're going in for the kill. Anybody say anything? All right. Let's see. Six lines from the bottom. We said if it was very thick and I can't use it as a writing implement or it was cracked, so then we said it has to be the amount of reed that I could use to cook this, the easiest cooked egg, the easiest cooked egg. So Tana, trufa b'shemen, unatuna b'ilfa. So Tana's on a brisa that the egg is already in oil and it's in the pan. So Amalei Mar b'reid Ravina lebrei. So Mar, the son of Ravina, said to his son, Mishal Mielach Beitzakala Mahi. Did you hear, do you know a pshat? What does it mean, the easiest cooked egg? What does the Tana of the Mishnah mean, the easiest cooked egg? That's what he asked his son. So Amar Lei, Be'ata Tzitzila. So he said, Dad, I think the pshat is, Be'ata Tzitzila, he says it's the egg of a small dove, the egg of a small dove. So he says, and the father says, Umay Karula Beitzakala. So the father says, I left out a word. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I skipped something. Let's go back. So let me go back. I'm sorry. So my timer. Yeah, my timer. So he says to him, So he asks his son, so why does it cook so easily? Mishum Dezutra. It's a very small egg. It cooks easily. So he said, the father says to him, Ema Dezitparta. Maybe it's the egg of a hummingbird. He says, Ishtik. So he's quiet because maybe the hummingbird is even smaller. I don't know. He says, that's even smaller. That's even a smaller egg. That's what the article says. So Amar Lei, so the son says to Midi Shmiel Lachbaha, do you know? I know frequently in the Gemara that's the way. Like somebody, like A will ask a question to B, then B, then he'll stump B, and then B will say, do you have a pshat? And then A will actually know the pshat. So anyway, so the father here, I can hear a father and a son. The father wants to like give the son a fahair. He asked them, but now the son didn't do so well. So so the son says, maybe it's like a pedagogic method. Now the son is asking the father, what's the pshat? So he says, Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Rav Sheshet. He says, this is what Rav Sheshet says, Beitz HaTarnagolet. It means a hen egg. And it was like regular eggs. He says, Umay Karula Beitz HaKala. And why do they call it an easily cooked egg? The Chachamim made an evaluation that this is the easiest egg to cook, is the chicken egg. So then the son asks, how come all the shiurim by food is always grogeret, the dried fig? And here it says like the enough fuel to cook this beitza, this egg. So Amar Lei, so the father said, Hachim or Rav Nachman, Kigrogeret mi beitza kala. Means enough of the reed to cook a grogeret of the beitza kala. So in other words, I only have to have the size of a grogeret, which is a dried fig, you know, from the beitza to cook that, and then enough of the kana to cook that. All right, let me just see for 1 second. All right, anybody have any questions? Okay, 1 second. Let me stop the recording. 1 second.